Welcome to the training in economic discipleship based around 10 biblical principles of kingdom economics. This will be delivered with 30 podcasts or MP3s, beginning with a one-day or two-day consultation and finishing with a reporting back one day where you bring back your stories based on your evaluation. In this podcast, we will extend the principle of redistribution when we look at the process of economics in the early church, in the first church of Jerusalem. Now, in the Old Testament, we find the principles of the kingdom were demonstrated in the nation of Israel. But in the New Testament, as the church was formative and small, they're demonstrated in communities of believers, communities of the king. First, we see the principles outworked within Jesus' band of disciples with their common fund from which they gave to the poor. Then in the first 3 or 4 years in their disciples in the Jerusalem church. And then by Acts chapter 8, we find the persecution occurring. So it's about 4 years after Jesus' death, all of the disciples were scattered. And so we find the principle of redistribution now multiplied throughout the churches that formed throughout Asia Minor, which is today's Turkey, Syria, Turkey, and on towards Greece and Rome. So let's look at the principles that are here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to verse 44. And similarly, the principles are repeated in Acts chapter 4. It speaks first of celebration. They partook of food with glad and generous hearts. So here's the coming of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. And out of it comes this great celebration. And day by day, they're eating food in each other's homes and just celebrating the goodness of the Lord. So we find this principle of celebration and freedom, which we'll look at later, right at the very core of the Jerusalem church. And then verse 44 in Acts 2 tells us all who believed were together, had all things in common. And so here we have the cooperative economics of the early church. Have you ever wondered why thousands of people started selling their possessions? So there was not a needy one among them. The apostles modeled this lifestyle of communal sharing and of simplicity. It was simply an extension of the teaching of Jesus that they passed on to these first disciples in the early church. And part of it was this process of cooperation and redistribution for equality. Inequality of the spirit, it wasn't an exact equality. Some gave, some didn't. There was no pressure. And that leads us to the next principle. So we've got cooperation. We've got celebration, we've got redistribution, and the fourth one of forsaking, they sold their possessions and goods and distributed to all as any had need, verse 45. When Peter and John went up to the temple and were asked for alms, asked for a gift, they had nothing, so they prayed for healing instead. The man was healed. But this is the nature of a bishop of the church, of a leader of the church, to live simply and to be dependent on God. This involves forsaking, simplicity, renunciation, our principle 6 that we looked at. And the motivation for such drastic action? It's threefold. First, you cannot serve God and money. Second, you need to proclaim the kingdom. Fourth, there's compassion for the poor and the needy. If anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? So this is the theme of this podcast, and it is the principle of renunciation. Now we find another principle affirmed in this passage in verse 32. It says, the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things which they possessed was their own, but they had everything in common. So some people continued to possess things, but they gave up the attitude of protective private ownership, and they shared whatever they had. It was a voluntary thing, this selling of their possessions, or the keeping of possessions and using them for others. In fact, Acts 5 tells us the story of a couple who tried to cheat God. And in verse 4, Peter tells them, while the property remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? So why did you have to lie to the Holy Spirit and to us that you sold and you've brought all the money when you've only brought half the money? So we've got this redistribution as a voluntary act in the early church, and I would say the early church is generally considered the model for our churches today. And we could say the principle here is one of equality. So it's redistribution for the sake of equality. It's an equalizing. There's no exact level of equality. The poor had their needs met. There was not a needy one among them. The rich were brought down lower. So James, Jesus' brother, tells us, let the believer who is lowly exalt in being raised, and the rich in his humiliation. For the kingdom uplifts the poor, but the rich refuse to enter it. But then you ask, what's the level of this equality? Do all of us receive a mansion and two cars? No, it's the level of basic needs. If we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of this world, if we have food and clothing, with that we should be content. And these needs vary according to the situation. So it's not a fixed level. A family of 12 needs more than a single person. It's a voluntary lifestyle. The outward action is dependent on the inner values. I used to call it a simple lifestyle, but it's a very complex thing to sustain. So I think a sacrificial lifestyle, that's our principle 6, is perhaps a better phrase for it, where we learn to depend on our Heavenly Father for our basic needs rather than being anxious. Sacrificial lifestyle seems an easier concept to work with. Now, the next question, is this just a jubilee for 1 year, or was it an internal jubilee? Now, it's not possible, I think. It's difficult to discern if the early church understood this as simply a year of jubilee or an eternal jubilee, because we only have a picture of the Jerusalem church for 3 to 4 years before it was scattered everywhere in Acts 8. On the other hand, since the disciples have been with Jesus for 3.5 years, living a jubilee lifestyle, one would likely conclude it was understood as an eternal jubilee, defining an ongoing lifestyle for the church throughout the ages. That Paul does not refer to the Jubilee is reasonable, as to non-Jews it would have made little sense. Similarly, while he preached the kingdom of God, he only uses that Jewish phraseology 16 times in his letters. So we find this principle of redistribution is outworked in the early churches more in terms of giving. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10 tells us to give the first fruits of our hands first and foremost to God, and that becomes a normative part of the early church. It's generally considered that the tithe is a workable amount to give, though the New Testament does not command tithing. As my father used to say, give 10%, save 10%, then live within your means. The first priority with the tithe is giving to the poor. In the New Testament, the portion for the poor was given to the apostles, who distributed through the deacons to the poor. A portion of the tithe was to be used for the priest, the equivalent today of the pastor or the minister, but not the whole tithe. And many of our churches consume most of the giving on the pastoral salaries and buildings. There's no teaching on tithing in the New Testament, but there is teaching on sacrificial giving. So it's good to start with the Old Testament principle of tithing and then to look at giving beyond that. Where does the giving go? It's very complex, it's very culturally defined. Today, apostles lead large movements, so there is a basis for giving and redistributing through denominational structures. For the money was brought and given to the apostles laid at their feet. But you find the apostle Paul, on the other hand, he didn't expect from the churches that they tithed towards him. When they did tithe, as the Philippians did, he very much appreciated their gift. So there's no one way that financial structures should be developed in the church, and denominations or missions. But there are clusters of principles. There are aberrations, however. Often poor pastors, in struggling to survive, put more and more pressure on their people to give. And the prosperity gospel facilitates this process. And then people give beyond what they can, and so they can't provide for their own family. This happens particularly in my own country and Pacific Island churches. It's not, ought not to be. The word is might is to be voluntary given, not coerced. So this leads us to our next principle, which is Jubilee and international redistribution. So the principle of the Jubilee is extended by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, where he speaks to the Corinthians about giving to the church in Jerusalem because the Lord had prophesied there would be a famine. So he's collecting money to take back to Jerusalem to care for the believers when this famine comes. And so here's an internationalization of the principle of redistribution from those churches that have some, even those poor churches, gave and gave generously. And so we've got this redistribution at international levels. And so we have today multinational nonprofit organizations that redistribute money from the rich churches to the poorer churches. And this is an extension of this biblical principle. It's always tricky. There's always problems in doing this, but it's the right thing to do. And we've got also this principle applied today to national governments taxing people and then redistributing to the poor. And a lot of questions about how this should be done, the limits to the authority of the government, how much should they redistribute? Shouldn't it be done through the church? Which used to be the case in Christendom in Europe when it was a Christian Europe. But as Christendom broke down, the government became more and more powerful. So now it is done through governmental care for the poor. And right-wing theologians and economists who are thinking theologically, they would tend to limit government involvement in redistribution, putting the emphasis on the local community and the family. And those who are more left-wing, more socialist in perspective, they would take the same biblical principles and say that the government should really create a solid redistribution of wealth. So you're left with a choice. What's the action you need to do based on what's been spoken here? How can you be involved in redistribution? First, you've got to get out of debt and poverty. But even as you're doing that, you need to be redistributing the little wealth that you do have. God's made it very creative. There are many alternatives. So what's the alternative that he is speaking to you? Jesus, we give you. We appeal.